The first scripture reading this morning of two will come from Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, beginning with verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there. When the sun had set, he took one of the stones at that place and put it under his head. Then he lay down there. He dreamed and saw a raised staircase, its foundation on earth and its top touching the sky. And God's messengers were ascending and descending on it. Suddenly the Lord was standing on it and saying, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will become like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, east, north, and south. Every family of earth will be blessed because of you and your descendants. I am with you now. I will protect you everywhere you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done everything that I promised." When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought to himself, "The Lord is definitely in this place, but I didn't know it." He was terrified and thought, "This sacred place is awesome. It's none other than God's house and the entrance to heaven." After Jacob got up early in the morning, he took the stone he had put under his head and set it up as a sacred pillar. He poured oil on the top of it. He named that sacred place Bethel, though Luz had been the city's original name. Jacob made a solemn promise. "If God is with me and protects me on this trip I am taking and gives me bread to eat and clothes to wear and I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone I have set up as a sacred pillar will be God's house. And of everything you give me, I will give you back a tenth." The second reading, Psalm 139, beginning with verse 1. "Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me, front and back. You put your hand on me. This kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's too high above me that I can't fathom it. Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you'd be there too. If I could fly on the wings of dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight. If I said, 'The darkness will definitely hide me, the light will become night around me,' even the darkness isn't dark to you. Nighttime would shine bright as day because darkness is the same as light to you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Did you like roller coasters when you were a kid? Maybe you're still a kid at heart. Maybe the kid in you still finds roller coasters captivating. What is it about roller coasters? Is it the anticipation of that clickety-click, click climb all the way up the steep tracks to the precipice where you know you're going to get dropped, hard in your throat, as if there is no bottom to the track? Is it the high speed, sharp curves, twisting and turning without warning, the momentum throwing you against the steel side of the coaster car? Maybe it's one of those monster coasters, right, that loop or twist, turning you or the whole world, can't tell which, upside down. It used to be so much fun. Shucks, if it weren't for better judgment and standing in the long hot line waiting my turn, I could almost talk myself off of the bench and into the nearest roller coaster, give it another try. Curves, steep climbs and those sudden drops, twists and flips. It's just part of the adventure that makes roller coasters so much fun. It's sometimes said that life is like a roller coaster. It surely has its steep climbs, doesn't it? The sudden drops. Life has more curves than 40 miles of bad road. It can turn your whole world upside down and leave you hanging on till your knuckles are white. But where's the adventure? Where's the fun? The fun has a way of getting lost when there are no guardrails, when life seems to have flown off the track. Too many blind curves and twists can become disorienting. Ask Jacob. In the beginning, Jacob seemed to have just missed out. His older twin brother, Esau, was born on the fast track to inherit the family's blessing, leaving Jacob on nothing but a dead-end ride. Then, through some manipulative scheming and open deceit, Jacob's life seems to have taken a turn for the better. He managed to swindle the birthright from his brother and trick his father into passing the family blessing on to him instead of Esau. What a break. But then life took another sharp turn for Jacob. Esau's rage led him to plot to murder Jacob in revenge. It was time for Jacob to hit the road to anywhere but there. The narrative of Jacob's life continued to take unexpected plot twists as he navigated the many sharp curves of his journey. Curves he managed to navigate with differing measures of dignity or success. Today's scripture reading finds Jacob rounding a curve that he will never forget. We pick up Jacob's story as he is fleeing the wrath of Esau, running for his life and with his father's blessing to Haran to find a wife and a new but continually twisting path. But was it the right path? Was he headed in the right direction? It seemed to be a logical choice. The road to Haran certainly seemed better than where his current road was headed. But was it? John T. Squires points out, the journey that Jacob is undertaking is a reversal in direction and orientation of the earlier journey that his grandfather had taken. Abraham had traveled south in order to receive God's blessing. Jacob travels in the other direction after having deceitfully gained his father's blessings. Wouldn't it be nice to know where we're going to end up before we take an exit? Wouldn't it be great to know that what and who was waiting for us around the next turn? Despite all the twists and turns, this isn't a roller coaster ride. Life often has no guardrails and can seem completely off rails. Seldom, if ever, are there clear and precise directional signs to mark our way. On his road to anywhere but here, running on fumes of fear, Jacob needs to find a place to refuel before continuing his journey. He comes to a city named Luz. Do you know what Luz means? The name actually means curve. Basically, Jacob comes to a curve in the road and decides to take it. Maybe he thought he was under the radar or taking some random turn to throw Esau off this trail were he being followed. Surely nobody would expect to find him there. What made Jacob take this exit? It certainly wasn't the Motel 6 sign promising to leave the light on for you. It couldn't have been a stop that was suggested on TripAdvisor. The stone pillows wouldn't have garnered a lot of good recommendations from other travelers. Why Luz? Was it totally random? As pointed out, Luz literally means curve. It is a word that is also used figuratively in the Old Testament for crooked or devious ways. Now that would make a striking synonym for Jacob's name, which meant grabber and supplanter, trickster. You might say, Jacob took an exit with his name on it. You might also surmise that no matter where you run, no matter where you turn, there you are. There is no escaping yourself in the narrative of your own life at every turn. Jacob may have been trying to hide from others when he took this turn. In this solitary and isolated place, he might have been surprised to come face to face with himself. But that is usually one of the hidden gifts that awaits all who dare to brave the foreboding isolation and unflattering but true reflection of themselves found there. Jacob encountered his own self, his own character, reminded of who he really was, and what he had thought and hoped to be a solitary and safe place in the thick darkness of night. He was surely even more surprised to find that he was not alone in that place after all. God was there, waiting for him at every turn, as if God had known all along, and Jacob was certain to head for that spot. When Jacob awakened after God spoke a message of promise and covenant to him in his dream, he was terrified because he had not realized God was there. He got up and he took the rock and anointed it, thinking it would make a better memorial than a pillow. And he declared the place where God had met him to be sacred. In another time, Jacob might have been able to pull the book of Psalms from his backpack and read Psalm 139 as he poured oil over that rock. Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you'd be there too. If I could fly on wings of dawn, stopping to rest only in the far side of the ocean, even there, your hand would guide me. Even there, your strong hand would hold me. The psalmist sings because he has come to realize, as had Jacob, that around every curve in his road, at every turn, God is there, waiting. And God is waiting there for the purpose of offering God's forgiveness and guidance to restore us. God is waiting at every turn to bless us too. Reverend Sonny Lee, writing in With Love to the World, says, as he hears the voice of God, Jacob feels the dynamic presence of God, and he is assured that God will never leave him. Jacob could never go beyond God's keeping. The angels will go with him to northern Mesopotamia, which was his destination. They will keep going up and down that ladder. They will accompany him for 20 years in Haran and return to the land of Canaan with him. Here we can see that there will always be a ladder, always the angels, always God with Jacob. Sometimes it is not all of life's twists and turns that get to be too much for us. Sometimes it is that there is nowhere to turn, no options in sight, no light by which to find our way. It's a whole nother level of fear to ride a roller coaster in the dark. Don't worry. This psalm is for that too. Psalm 139 continues, perhaps with Jacob's dark journey in mind, or could it be with our journey in mind? If I said, darkness will definitely hide me, the light will become night around me. Even the darkness isn't dark to you. Nighttime would shine bright as day because darkness is the same as light to you. We need this psalm. We need to know, no matter what road we find ourselves on, no matter how long, desolate, or alone that road may seem, no matter how many curves we come to, God is right there waiting for us. The God of promise and hope meets us at every turn, and when there's nowhere to turn. We may not know where life is headed next. We may not know what is around the next curve. But we do have the assurance that at every twist and turn on the wild and frightening roller coaster of life, God is there at every turn to meet us with divine presence and blessing. Amen.